you know, unfortunately for all the good press that we've managed to stir up over the years, we've also had Tiger Kim, you know, sexual harassment, and we've had the ATA school in Conifer have two different child molestation incidences, and somebody else had, you know, so it's like, you know, if you don't just beat it to death constantly, you know, you're getting beat up by the other crap.
And in the Google, you know, I use that Gmail thing, so I see all the, I get all the news alerts, you know, every day.
I just have to stop looking at them, it depresses me so bad.
Yeah, the ATA instructor in South Carolina seeing how many times she can kick her student in the stomach.
It's every day, it's 20 of those.
Well, stories. And there was, you know, the guy in Jersey who just pled guilty to child molestation, and the guy in Illinois who just pled guilty in Florida. Yeah. Weren't there two of them in Florida?
Fort Myers.
So anyway, what can I help you guys with, if anything? I'm sure that the Mr. Milroy has filled your brains already.
Can you just go through and assimilate all our notes and write us out a program that we can just
give you an action plan? Here's your action plan. I got your action plan.
We did it all for you already. You know,
do some him.
Do more thing.
Now. That's your action plan.
Sounds simple.
Yeah.
You
would be amazed the number of people we talk to. You know, the depressing thing about doing the coaching program was, you know, you actually had to talk to them one on one every month. And in about half the cases, every month you had to tell them to do the same thing you told them last month because they hadn't done any damn thing. So, you know, month two, you'd be telling them the same thing you told them month one, and month three, you'd be telling them the same thing you told them month one. And so half the time I felt like I should just record the first call and, you know, and say, did you do A, B, C? No, okay, here, listen to this. Okay. You wanted me to cover how to actually launch the a new upgrade program, right?
Yeah.
Is that a point at which a lot of you are at on how to do the next new thing? I'll tell you this. I'm sure you've already covered it, but it is an opportunity where you can legitimately, honestly, enthusiastically suck up an awful lot of revenue in about 6 weeks. From your student body, and have everybody really excited about it. So, it's one of those things that you do need to put a little bit of intelligent planning into it, and then just go at it like with balls of fire. The thing about launching the new program is this, and it's the same concept you have in marketing in all aspects. Is people don't pay attention to anything you do. Okay, so just write that down. People do not pay attention. People do not pay attention to you, smart-ass, sarcastic little shit. People do not pay attention to anything you do, right? So. That was good. That was good.
Well,
good thing I didn't fall for it.
Well, if we need an illustration, do you guys know what the most successful direct mail piece was for the show? It was the fourth one. The Valentine's Day. So there's the fourth big mail package that prospects got, the big red envelope with the candy in it. Yeah, that was the one that pulled the best.
And after that was email 232, voicemail number 12.
Goodness, right? I mean, yeah, right?
I didn't get no candy from
you. That's because you probably registered before I sent that one.
You actually purged them this time?
Yeah, well, I actually do, but sometimes I'll send them a list for both of them at the same time, and you know, they buy between them.
I still got the little bear in the graduation thing. I set it up.
Oh, isn't that cute?
That was awesome.
That's part of our academic, achievement that when we talk about.
Wasn't that the one that was my idea?
That was your idea. That was the big cardboard. Okay. That was the big cardboard folder that I was trying to get him to do this time, but they didn't have them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's
clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? They get open.
I couldn't figure out how to open it.
They're hard to open.
Yeah. And the stuff is open away from yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Get a knife out. But anyway, so when you're launching the thing, people don't pay attention, okay? And here's what you're going to do, here's what your staff are going to do, is you're going to be afraid to beat it over the head enough. And when you're done with the whole thing, you're going to have the mom who the next month comes up to you and said, what was that leadership thing you were talking about last month? Right?
Oh, yeah.
See, now anchor that in. That's why they have to get 983 emails, 5,800 letters. That's why they have to be told at the beginning of class, the middle of class, at the end of class, and on the way out the door to the parking lot to the mom who pulls up to the sidewalk, doesn't come into the school. Right? And it's also why you're going to have 10% of your student body who gets annoyed, because they're actually the ones that pay attention, because 90% really don't pay attention, and it's 10% who do pay attention. Now, here's the way you handle the 10% that get annoyed. You say, Mrs. Jones, let me ask you a simple question. Well, what's that? Look around the school. Well, what do you mean? Well, how many parents are just like you? They don't have their romance novel. They're paying attention to every word in class, even taking notes, reading everything that we mail in rapt attention so that they can anchor it in for supporting their child and actually opening each of the emails and paying attention. How many do you imagine are like you, Mrs. Jones? Well, what do you mean? Well, look around. Well, not many, I guess. That's right. You're in the top 5%. So the fact that you do pay attention, and I have to apologize, means you get it hit 10 times more than you need, which also means that the bottom 20% are going to come up to us still in 2 months and say, what was that thing? Right? And what we want is we want to have the vast majority of people get the message so they're not mad at us later. That's the way you handle it. Right? So you don't worry about the fact that a couple of people are going to be mad that you beat on their door way too much. You have an explanation ready, which is an accurate one, by the way, right? Always helps to, like, tell them the truth, you know? So it's an accurate one. It's realistic. But the thing is when we do this, let's say that it's a six-week blitz. And by the way, there is something magic in it being 6 or 7 weeks, not being 2 months, not being 3 months. The longer you go, the more people are going to have a tendency to wait till the end. When we do this in the holidays, it'll be start November 1st. First cutoff is Thanksgiving. Second cutoff is the week before Christmas. So let's say December 15th for argument's sake. It'll always be a weekend. Okay? And if they do it by Thanksgiving, there's some special thing they get. Just to spur them to action. Okay? So, what's the special thing? Well, we do the like the blue leadership tops. So we'll put on the mirrors 20, mark it out 19, mark it out 18, mark it out 17, and there's 17 free blue tops, and we'll hang 17 blue tops from the rafters or from the wall. And if you renew before that runs out, then you get a free one. Otherwise, you have to pay for it. And in practical terms, we never make them pay for it, but, you know, spurs them back. The second thing is, we haven't done this in a while, so I've gotten lazy, but we used to do a special seminar with me. Now they do special seminars with one of the instructors from another school. So Kyle Galloway will go down to South Jeff, and he'll do a special Bo Staff seminar, and Frank will go to the Thornton School, and he'll do a special something or other. So they have somebody they're not used to seeing all the time, right? You know, there's the you never profit in your own land. So you can have a worse instructor come from one of the other schools, and they're more excited about seeing him than the guy they get every day. So we'll do a special seminar. So if you renew by Thanksgiving, you can do a special seminar that's like right here. We've done it where if you renew by there, you get a special seminar, and you get, you know, two special, you know, 50 private lessons with somebody special, right? So you want to think of this just like anything else where you're trying to stack some bonuses on top, but the bonuses on top are predominantly in order to get them to move quickly rather than wait. Does that make sense? And so then, when you do it, you want to make sure that everybody gets the message. So take something like this. Let's say this is week one. This is week two. This is week three. This is week, 3 would be there. So this is week 4, 5, maybe 6, right? So let's say that's the process. And so maybe they get every Saturday we mail a postcard, and every Monday we mail a postcard. Okay? And then when we kick it off, we mail a big package in a fake FedEx looking envelope, right? The one that costs 50 cents and costs $1 to mail, rather than the one that costs $20 to mail. Works just as well in most cases. So postcard, 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 another letter. Okay? Then what will happen is the entire school will get decorated. And I mean, like, obnoxiously. Okay? Banners and streamers and the uniform tops and signs on the mirrors and, you know, and you go to Target and you get the paint that you can paint on the mirrors. It comes off relatively easily, whatever it's called, not the one that, you know, like, has to scrub for hours. Which is the one that comes off easily?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
But it looks really cool. It looks really good. You put it on the
Target.
What's that?
So we get it at Target. Yeah. We've just been using the dry erase.
That looks really crappy. No, so the like you can get the paint.
Oh,
it's like
real.
Yeah, there's paint. There's a couple kinds, but there's
those? Okay.
Yeah, it just comes off with a razor blade, right?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't put it on like anything that's painted, but you can do the mirrors and you can do the windows. And so, you know, like in our case, we'll have a whole wall of mirrors and the sign will go for the whole damn wall.
Okay.
Right? Now, and there's other things you can tie into it. I like to have a black belt testing going on. And so we'll have pictures of everybody who's testing for the black belt or everybody who's testing for intermediate levels of black belt. We have black belt essays that the kids do. So we'll copy all of them and have a packet. And every parent who comes in 1 week will get every essay from the black belt test. If we have them from like 2 or 3 tests ago, 1 week they'll get 1 year, the next week they'll get the other year, the next week they'll get the other year, right?
When do you hand those out? What week?
I'm not sure there's any science to that. You know, if I had my ideal, maybe week 2 and 3, so early on. But it's just a matter of, like, every time they come in, you're giving them some stuff, right? And you're giving some stuff that helps make the sale. And the more it can be social proof type of stuff, the better. So, you know, if you have pictures of everybody who's ever gotten their black belt or everybody who's testing for their black belt this time, and, you know, you might make it a big deal about it. If you have everybody who's testing their black belt this time and they come in, they do little demos periodically. If you can introduce Mrs. Jones, whose son Joey is getting their black belt, and have her talk a little bit in front of the class, right? So think about the list of everything you can possibly do. Double it, and that's how much stuff you do. Okay, so again, I say that because remember, nobody pays attention. So since they don't pay attention, you can do all this stuff in the school, and you can mail them all this stuff, and it either hits the trash or it gets stacked up. You know, and I would do the same thing. It'd be stacking up over in the corner by the cabinet, and next week I might look at it, and it says the deadline was last week. Whoop, missed that. Oh, right. So you've really got to stack it all up. The other thing about the decorating the school, here's a tip. Decorate the school here. Make a big deal about it. Somewhere in the middle, tear everything down, and then start over and make it look all different. Because people stop paying attention. By the way, if you have a big banner you put on the wall, doesn't matter what it is. Let's say it's birthday parties. You have a big banner you put up on the wall, and it's always right there. They pay attention for about a week. Right? You want to get them to pay attention? Take it down, put something else there. Take it down and put it on that wall. Take it down and put it on that wall. Take it down and put it on that wall. And then 4 weeks later, it's over here, right?
Call it a duck banner.
What's that?
The duck banner.
Yeah, they have to duck underneath it to get in. But that's right. I mean, if there's stuff on the walls that you want students to pay attention to because it's going to help make some sale or help, you know, trigger them in, if it's always in the same place, it just becomes part of the furniture. They don't notice it anymore. So you've got to be constantly changing that stuff up. Okay. So on something like this, from a procedural standpoint, you've got to do all this kind of stuff. Now, Toby, I imagine you wanted me to talk about how to actually phase it in. Well, what to present, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the big step, and then you know, how can we pre-frame and scoop off like 40% of the students real quick in one fell swoop to get the thing some momentum?
Right, right. Well, a lot of the scooping them up is this way, right? It's way over promoting it so that, you know, your goal is to have absolutely no one in the school who doesn't know exactly what's going on. And that's a nearly impossible feat. Yes, sir.
Is there a way you can write left-handed? Because I always seem to be on this side as you're writing, and I can't see what you're referencing. So.
It's a special souvenir. I'd be happy to have it.
Our leadership program, something you told us last year that worked really effective.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was take some of the top students who were like already in our black belt club that we had a grandfather in, mm-hmm. and put them in the blue gi tops. Mm-hmm. Get them out on the deck. Give them that social proof.
Yeah.
And then everybody was asking them why they're wearing the blue top and what happened to the red top. And, you know, they said, well, because, you know, we train so hard, you know, Sensei has put us into the leadership program so we can be the leaders of the leadership program. And I got a
Just make sure that they don't say, and when people ask how much it is, they say, oh, it was free. Prep them for that
I say we're charter members.
Yeah. You're charter members. The new program is $15,000. I'm going to give it to you for no charge, as long as you never tell anybody that.
If you say something,
you're painful. But yeah, well, what you're talking about, again, anchor for everybody is social proof. You know, if you walk into one of our schools, and like it seems like everybody's in a blue top, and I'm the student that's wearing a white uniform, well, I feel left out, right? However, if you're saying, here's this new thing, and everybody else looks like me, you know, I'm kind of like, so what, right? Number two is, there's always the hierarchy in the school, right? So it's whatever the master instructor wears, whatever the instructors are wearing, whatever the black belts are wearing. And so that's why anytime we institute something new, we'll put all these guys in it first, right? So like when we went from, years ago was we went from a red top was black belt club and we're going to introduce master club, right? So it was that the instructors were in all red and black belt club was in a red top, just their normal white pants. Okay? And so now we're going to basically add on a higher level. So now it became black uniform. And so when we released it, it was going to be black top, white pants. And so for a couple months, these guys were all wearing around black, which is now what's cool, right? And, you know, and again, there's nothing more cool than black than red. It's just whoever the top people are wearing, right? So it's just like, you know, you think about all these stupid theories, all these stupid celebrity magazines, you know? What shoes is Jennifer Aniston wearing? Well, in practical terms, nobody should care, but in real terms, you know, that's what they pay attention to. So it's the same thing. You introduce whatever the thing is going to be at the highest level and then work your way down. So that's exactly right. And so, you know, and if you want to, you can take some of these guys at this level. I had one of our schools, actually, that I had taken over, and they had had a problem with nobody had been put in the upgrade program. And so I just in mass took all of the senior advanced belts that were way beyond the point, right? And this is a little harsh, but I said, well, we're doing this new leadership program, and I want you to look out there and see all those gold belts. And it's either going to be the leadership guys or you are. And the leadership program is $15,000, except that you're all of our longtime loyal, blah, 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 blah. This week you can do it for $1,000 just so you're in the deal. Okay? Literally. And I just did it in a group. You know, I said, you can do it for $1,000 and either you're going to be the leadership people or they're going to be. I prefer it to be you. But if you want to do it this week, you know, we're going to put you in blue tops, one thing or another, and then start some classes and some other things. I gave them benefits. But, you know, I had like 20 people and had like 15 of them renew, right? And it's better than giving it to them because they had some value. But I really didn't do, in that case, much of a pitch other than it was takeaway. It's either you or them.
Do you just let the obstinate people go?
Yeah.
Like, I've got two girls who've come to me, Master's Club Leadership, and it's a relationship thing. Yeah. We love the girls. Their dad is
an asshole, yeah.
And he's doing it just because. He goes, well, you're just trying to upgrade everybody. You're trying to upgrade. And he's a business owner. And he's the guy who comes in with the Mercedes and everything else. And his wife's got her own little, like, knick-knack shop that they bought the building. And he just won't do it just because he's obstinate.
Yeah, somebody says to you something ridiculous like, you're just trying to upgrade everybody. What's your answer?
Yes.
And the true answer is this, right? Well, we're trying very diligently to upgrade those students that we'd like to work with on a long-term basis, and trying very diligently to sort through the student body to make sure we don't upgrade anybody we don't want to work with on a long-term basis. And frankly, Mr. Jones, you're right on the precipice. Well, what do you mean? Stop, dead serious. Well, what do you mean? Well, your kids are a delight to work with, and you're a pain in the ass. So you're either going to get with the program or not.
I actually have done that. I've done the same thing to somebody.
You got to have a lot of rapport.
To one of the franchise guys yesterday.
Yeah.
In front of everybody. The guy said, "Well, what if I don't want to do that?" Then Steve said, "Well, then you're an asshole."
I did, didn't I?
I was at the bar last night. And those guys were there. They were laughing about it. The guy said, "I didn't know what to say." I guess he was right. I was being kind of an asshole.
Sleep deprivation, to be honest.
I had that exact situation though. I had your situation was. I had these a boy and a girl. Who are both fantastic. And Dad was the chief operating officer of Ultima Electronics, which is, you know, right across the street. At the time, it was like a $780 million electronics chain. And in fact, we had their entire executive team in. I'll tell you another story about the present. But he was the chief operating officer of Ultima Electronics. I mean, a $780 million, electronics chain. And he did exactly the same thing you just said. He came in the office, and he, like, interrupted the conversation. He was pissed off. And he comes in, and he's like, yelling at me, about it. And I said, "Look, John, here's the deal. You're right, and you're wrong." "Well, what do you mean I'm right and I'm wrong?" "Well, we absolutely are going through the process to get everybody that we want. And I got to tell you what, I haven't decided about you." "Well, what do you mean?" "Your kids are great, but I'm not sure they're worth dealing with you. So you're either going to have to sit down, shut up, and get with the program, or make a decision to go away. And I'd hate to see you go away, because your kids are great. I'd love for your kids to be a black belt, but I really don't want to ever have a conversation like this again. So, you know, which is it? Do you want them to be black belts, secondary black belts, and be in a leadership team? Because we're going to..." He goes, "Well, are you going to hold this against my kids?" I said, "Not if you shut up and never do it again."
Because the girls right now are feeling the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Their best friend came in, and she's all the way up to peak performers, and they're sitting there in their white uniforms going, "We want to be with them." And when the Master Club kids stay extra, they leave, and they sit there and wait for their friend.
I like that. We should have done that. Peak performers. He's got a program above that's called Peak Performers. I like that. Wonder where he got that.
Good idea.
I stole it from Fleischer Kennedy, so I can't take any credit for it.
I stole it from both of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
Has anybody,
I like that.
Anybody fail a test or a
parent go off? Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a student fail the test and have the parent go off in front of everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had a grandparent. "Why did you set my child up for failure?"
"There it is."
I'm an educator. "Why did you set my child up for failure?" And I said, "Well, what do you mean by setting him up for failure?"
You know, we do a pre-test process to make sure we don't have that problem, because we used to have it all the time a long time ago. Never had it any longer. We do a pre-test the week before. They come in. We tell the parents square away, you know, he has a 50-50 chance of passing, or if he performed the way he did today, he doesn't have a chance to pass. I mean, we tell him straight. Or if he performs like he did today, he'll pass.
Right.
But remember, the test on Saturday is the real test. This was a practice. Some kids get up there, get nervous and don't perform to standard, and if he does that, he will not pass. If you think that he can handle that pressure, then that means he's ready to test. If you don't think he is, that means he needs to wait. Oh no, he can do it. I know he can do it. And then gets up there and starts screaming in front of everybody. Oh, he was the only one who didn't pass, but he was so far off. Yeah. He was worse than he was in the pre-test. Yeah. We didn't pass him. He's testing again this week. And my staff called me yesterday and said, should we let Joseph test again? And I said, is his mother there? They said, no. And I said, well, tell him that he can test as long as she's not there.
how about
no problem.
But he can test as long as she's there.
I don't think the mother's going to be here because she's never apologized for her last outburst.
Yeah.
I told the dad, Joseph is welcome here. We love Joseph. All the instructors like Joseph. You've never caused a problem here. Your wife, you know, had never done anything like that. We always gave her, you know, we're always nice to her. And I explained everything to her. But after that, there's no way that I can let her back in my school until I get an apology. Yeah. And she can assure me that that will never happen again. I haven't gotten that. So, but she hadn't been in the school, but the dad's still bringing him. Their own master club. Yeah. They're signed up for 3 more years.
You know, there is an important principle here, you know, among all these humorous stories is, you know, one, your mission is to have enough flow of people that you don't have to tolerate counterproductive influences, right? And the more, you know, the more you get to that point, the better school environment you're going to provide. It's the same reason why Harvard and Stanford and Yale, et cetera, are selective. I mean, the whole point of being selective is that they can match a student body with one another so they can be the best learning experience, right? So it's the same thing you want to accomplish. And if you have a parent who's pulling against the row, you know, and sometimes it's just, you know, and oftentimes it's you know, it's one of two extremes, right? It's either kind of like the, you know, the poor stupid ones, or it's the rich guys who are used to kind of getting their way and they want to push you around like everybody else.
That's very much
right.
What it is.
Yeah. And you know, in my estimation, the one end of the extreme is hard to fix. The other end of the extreme, if you just kind of put them in their place, they get, you know, they get.
Yeah, I mean, he's a bully.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and sometimes it's not even just being a bully. It's just they're used to ordering people around all day, so I think they can come in and do that. You know, one of our locations here is in, like, the richest county, in one of the richest counties in the country. And, you know, on one end, you had the neighborhood where, like, Marvin Davis, the billionaire who owns the Beverly Wilshire, where they filmed, you know, Pretty Woman and own Paramount Theaters, where he lives. And on the other hand, you have, like, Colorado's version of Orange County, where everybody's driving a BMW or Mercedes, and they're living in a house that's about 50% more than they can afford, and they have, you know, three big car payments, and the median income, I think, was 110, and the median, you know, probably annual budget was 130, so everybody was living about 20 notches over their head. And on both extremes, you had that, right? You had the ones that were wealthy entrepreneurs who were just kind of like used to getting their way, and I mean, frankly, I'm used to getting my way, so, you know, when I go in, if they tell me exactly the way it's supposed to be, then I'll cooperate with their system. But if they're vague, you know, if they're vague about it, they don't know what the hell they want, then I just want it done the way I want, right? Does that make sense? I mean, that's not being an asshole. It's just, you know, you don't know what you want, well, let's do it this way, you know?
Do you have dogs?
What's that?
Do you have dogs?
Uh-huh.
Do you have dogs, yeah.
I have a, same thing, Alpha. I have a husky and a lab.
Huskies are alive. If you're not a good leader on a husky, they'll run all over you.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not the alpha dog, they will be. That's exactly right.
Pastor Oliver, I got a question along those lines.
Yeah.
When do you decide those students too much trouble? For attendance, you know, we've gone to the rotating curriculum. Mm-hmm. I just had a student that missed the last module. We did all the private classes, mm-hmm. got him tested up, and I got the same situation with him again in this module.
Yeah.
He's a great kid, you know, his mom's great, but it's been an attendance issue ever since he started. And when do you just say, you know, you're not adhering to the school policies, enough is enough, and we're going to have to let you go?
You know,
behavior-wise and policy-wise.
I think my attitude about it is when somebody is cancerous or belligerent. Okay? So cancerous meaning they're not confronting us, but they're standing over there, you know, trying to get everybody, you know, against us, right? So if somebody's cancerous, you got to cut them quick, right? Or belligerent, meaning, you know, like my example, a guy bursts in the office when I'm talking to somebody else and wants to yell at me, right?
Constantly disrupting.
Now, somebody who's just having trouble getting their act together, you know, I'll be patient with them, you know, for pretty much forever, right? I mean, now I'll tell them about it. Let's have a seat, and here's what we're going to have to do to make adequate progress in one thing or another. But you never know. Sometimes they come around. I can think of a lot of examples, and oftentimes you have a wonderful person who's trying hard that has external things going on in life that you don't know about, probably don't want to know too deeply about.
They don't want to discuss it. Ask them. Could be going through a divorce.
Yeah. The dad's an alcoholic, the grandfather's an alcoholic,
the
mom's dying of cancer,
The father and the...
And there's a lot of external factors, because I talked with her last night on the phone.
Yeah.
And we set up an appointment for Monday to come in and talk. And, you know, I approached this. We have the policies. It's affecting this training. I'm very concerned.
How many lessons do you require? Do you require a number of lessons?
You know, I say eight per month, but, you know, in that situation, I'm kind of lenient. You know, he's a really good kid. He's a fast learner. You know, he's very proficient at it, and that's what we did.
But here's the thing. You're trying to protect the learning environment. You know, you're not trying to protect your feelings. You're not trying to force them to make the kind of progress at the pace that we're trying to get them to do. But you're always protecting the learning environment.
And that's what I'm worried about, is setting a bad example to the others.
Well,
private lessons that you did you charge them for?
No, I didn't, but they were very hard. The other kids could see them going on.
No, but you didn't charge them?
No.
Then why do you think, what would you rather have, private lessons or group, if they're giving them to you free?
Yeah.
So we do that, but we make them pay for private lessons. And I guarantee you, once you do that, and they find out it's $50 an hour, or depending on which instructor, because we have our assistant instructors that are $50 an hour.
You're describing Jody and Jada.
Say it again?
You're describing Jody and Jada.
Well, there's a lot like that, and it's just their families that are busy, but
they would constantly get off track, and they know that I have a bevy of instructors, so, you know, we signed Frank to go get them caught up, and it was just, you know, and you're absolutely right. If there was any way that Jody really believed that it was going to cost her $50 an hour, she'd be at the group class, no questions asked, but since she knows there's
do it for one of your assistant instructors, it's one of your staff, like a regular instructor, 80, and then if it's your head instructor, it's 100.
Yeah.
And let them pick. I have the names and say, here's our four instructors that do it.
Yeah.
Here's this rate, that rate, that rate. Which one of them do you want? Because a lot of times there's one instructor they like that they relate with better than the other. Sometimes that's a more expensive instructor.
Can you get
our
damned artist to do one that's
clean? What about if
you're like that, running all the shitty
stuff? Actually, when we do a private,
sure.
We do a half-hour private in
design
for $50.
What if they always overcomplicate it?
Yeah.
The
half-hour
private
whatever place.
Equals,
you guys had one of the photos up in the tree
class.
After it was.
Because we can get that much done.
Stamp on top of it. I just erased the stamp.
So that way you tell them, you get a couple half-hour classes. Don't do a full hour, just do a half hour.
Make a copy of that and say, Gary, that's what I've been trying to get.
And I usually will tell them, you're short four classes, so we're going to have
we have an editor, a video guy, and an artist who try to make everything overcomplicated.
Because 1 hour, he won't retain the knowledge as well.
I'm the guy that says,
we can do it.
Take the little flip camera, point it at him, and have him talk.
We'll
and Mark will be like, we need a light here, we need a light here.
HD.
Go ahead and do it. You pick the day in the afternoon, we'll work out.
Okay, we're now off topic. So let's go back. The takeaway on all that stuff is, one, you want to be financially successful enough that you never have to compromise the learning environment. And frankly, it's your business. And, you know, you've got to decide for yourself at what point you're willing to trade money for aggravation, right? At this point, luckily, my tolerance level is pretty low. but you can't let that permeate to your staff, because then their tolerance level will, you know, not be as nuanced, right? And they're trading your money for their annoyance. And you do have to be careful about that, because I've had program directors like sit in on conversations, and there are things that I can say to people and pull off, and then they'll try to say to people and it implodes on them. So you've got to be very careful about that. And again, you can't let the 18-year-old instructor decide that this tad is too much trouble because that dad wants him to do his job, right? And so, you have to balance those things out. But as far as adding on the program, I will tell you that as you add upgrade programs, no matter what it is, you'll have a tendency to think that you have to put a lot of brain damage in. And frankly, when you're trying to figure out what stuff they get, you overcomplicate your life, right? Because what a lot of cool things in their perspective may not seem like all that big a deal to you. Does that make sense? And so you do have to be careful about, like, Jonathan Metcalf, who's ran a great school. He's doing, what, $50,000 a month, $60,000 a month? $56,000 a month. But when he was overlaying the upgrade programs, I mean, I talked to him about 6 months ago. He had spent 2 years, and he was mapping it all out. He had him to do A, then I'm going to do B, then I'm going to do C, and he had those. And it was like, Jonathan, just freaking launch the deal, you know? Don't think about it all day long. And, you know, there has to be a physical component. So the adult student or the kid has something cool they get to learn. And there has to be a personal growth component. To add value. Because I'm sorry, guys, no matter how cool it is, there is really very little value in XMA. Or any other thing like that, right? I mean, I'm not criticizing XMA, but I mean anything like that. Yeah, so what? Right? Okay, my kid's going to learn to do a flip. Well, whatever, right? So as a parent, you've got to, and that's where I see people go wrong with this. You know, my friend Master Clark, I think I've convinced him otherwise. He's convinced me of some things, but this is what I think I've convinced him of, is, you know, a couple years ago, their upgrade programs were all about more stuff, right? But they were all about our leadership guys get to learn XMA. You know, and I said to him many times, I said, well, XMA is fine for the 9-year-old, but what does the parent care? Well, and see, that's why you get somebody who does an upgrade program and it's like $100 a month, and the upgrade's 120, and the next upgrade's 140. Well, because there's not a whole lot of value. You know, I think their case was, what, Toby, 150, 175, yeah, yeah. 200 or something like that. Well, that's not all that big a gap, right? I mean, that's kind of like $25 a month you get to be on the demo team. Okay, that's fine. But if you overlay it with enough personal growth content, now the fact that my kid wants to do something cool, maybe that's worth $25, $50 a month, right? However, something that's really going to expand their horizons and really going to give them confidence and really going to make them immune to negative peer pressure, what's that worth? See, this you can put a value on, and this is priceless. Does that make sense? So it can't be, I get to learn XMA, or I get to learn, you know, traditional. James Theros, another Inner Circle member, I had to beat him senseless. His deal was you're learning. He teaches two Korean styles. One of them is Hapkido. What's the other one? Taekwondo. Oh, he's teaching Taekwondo, Kung Fu, and Hapkido. And he had an upgrade where you get to learn Kung Fu and then plus Taekwondo, and an upgrade where you get to learn Hapkido plus Taekwondo. And I'm saying to James, nobody cares other than you. You're the only one that cares. So, you know, you can't have it be where they pay you more money to learn something that's in their mind, same damn stuff, right? Still kicking and punching stuff, right? And, you know, he said, no, Hapkido isn't, you know, and it's... And here was the deal. He was a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo, and he was now up to about brown belt in Hapkido, and he is up to, like, you know, blue belt in Kung Fu, and he was really excited about this stuff, so he thought everybody else would think the way he did. Well, they don't, you know? Certainly the parents, they don't care. So you can't make a stylistic distinction or some other physical thing be the primary reason for the upgrade. So there really has to be. And again, the main peak performance is a perfect one. So there has to be something that's going to be peak their performance from overall attitudinal, confidence, discipline, focus, teach them leadership. The way we present the program, you guys probably already always heard this, but I stole this from Seven Habits. So if you think of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, in the book he has this chart that looks like this. Does that sound familiar to everybody?
It's circle of control and circle of...
Circle of maturity.
Maturity.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, continuum, maturity continuum. But what he says is the outside thing is sharpen the saw. This is movement from dependence to independence. And this is independence to interdependence. Okay? And so the first three habits are for yourself, and the next three habits are working with others. Right? Well, see, I stole that and said, well, what would be a good way for us to present our upgrade? Well, Mr. and Mrs. Jones, what we do is we first teach them to be a good student. Then we teach them to be an independent self-starter, independent learner. Then we teach them to be a good interdependent team member, right? Then we teach them to be a good team leader, group leader, ultimately be able to speak in front of large groups and be a good inspirational leader, right?
Just directly parallel with Don Thornton's.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. His is good follower, one-on-one leader, group leader, executive leader.
Oh, that's right.
Same deal.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah.
Well, virtually.
Well, yeah. He's separating these two levels, which I said, but I didn't differentiate. So he's saying, leader of leaders, group leaders, right? Which I think is a nice distinction. You know, this is like CEO, a leader who's influencing other leaders, and this is a leader who's influencing other followers.
For us, that structure of a class of here's Johnny teaching Mary, and here's
exactly.
him teaching Mary and Janie, and here's him teaching them, and here's me as a teacher watching all of them.
Exactly.
It's
perfect, isn't it?
Visual perfect. To see.
Yeah.
Independent,
yeah.
Did you say there was the next one down?
What was the first one?
Well, this is... See, Covey says be dependent, be independent, be interdependent.
I like the other
right.
one better.
Well, no, I like mine better, and I like Donna Thorne's better. That's
so
right.
Who was yours?
That was Donna Thorne. Yeah. That's what Donna Thorne said yesterday.
Say it again.
He was saying good followership.
Face-to-face
leader, like one-on-one.
Well, yeah.
And small group leader.
Group executive.
And the executive.
Yeah. So, I mean, he doesn't. What I was saying is learn how to be a good student. Learn how to be a good independent self-starter. In other words, that's not about leading people, that's about leading yourself, right? So learning to be a good student, and this clicks with parents. You know, learning to be a good student is learning to pay attention in class, learning how, to focus, learning how to absorb information. Learning how to be a good independent self-starter means that you don't have to try to catch me not doing drugs or catch me doing drugs. I don't do drugs because I don't want to. Right, you don't have to give me dollars and criticism and praise to get A's in school. I just want to be a good student. Yeah, it's
internal
locus
of control.
Internal versus external motivation. Internal locus of control. And the conversation with parents will be, all of our black belts master these two. Okay, the ones that are in the leadership program now master these. And again, this is a good way to differentiate it: is the leader of leaders, a leader of followers. Right. And I don't distinguish that in that presentation, but they then get to be a good interdependent team member, which is really the followership thing that Covey was talking about. If you distinguish it, really good followership is the combination of these three, right? So he's just starting at a higher level too.
Yeah.
But this is getting to be a good interdependent team member. Ms. Jones, you know how important that is, whether he's on the football team or if he's in a work group at work. And, of course, in college, they do a lot of that now. Learning how to work effectively with other people. This is now learning how to lead others, right? And then I said that, learning how to lead others in a small group, larger group setting, and even in a, visionary public speaking and performance and so forth. So that's differentiating. But you've got to develop language like that to explain to parents what the movement and transition that people are going through is, and take it out of just being physical.
Okay? It's useful too that the, you know, the independent, interdependent part, that's like, for lack of a better frame, like a master club, mm-hmm. or orientation, these other levels, the face-to-face, small group, executive, yeah. leadership phases, mm-hmm. all those are, you know, the other thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to make me pull my checkbook out.
Yeah. I mean, well, the nice thing about using some of this is so many big corporate environment people, like your guy in the Mercedes is being an asshole, they're already indoctrinated in this stuff.
Yeah.
And so now if you start talking in their language, they go, oh, okay.
When I was in college, it worked.
Yeah.
The cafeteria people were reading Seven Habits.
Yeah. And, you know, and if I were sitting down and you're talking to me and you're saying, well, you know, she used to do this physical thing, okay, great. Yeah. But you start talking in this language, and, you know.
Yeah, because that's what, well, she's got to learn a backflip, and now she's got to learn to jump off the, and that's the same thing.
Yeah. So what?
Yeah.
Cool. You know, she as long as she enjoys it.
Well, as long as she likes it.
Yeah, see, well, that means you're over here. That means you're over here. As soon as you move over here, that's when the parents say, well, we're going to make sure she follows through and sticks with this. This is the thing that we're going to make sure that, you know, that no doubt we follow through on, right? Now, the question is really, how much additional stuff on a weekly, monthly, annual basis do they need to get in order for them to justify in their mind a big price bump? And the reality is not a lot, okay? In fact, if you overlay too much stuff, it becomes problematic in implementation. You've always got to be communicating to them in terms that are relevant. So you don't want to be talking about features, you want to be talking about outcomes, right? So, you know, it's again, some of you were in that little meeting we had about this group. Well, it's all about what you become in the process. It's not about the specific features of the thing. And the reality is the participants should only care about the features from a standpoint of when do I show up and what do I do in order to get that outcome, right? So the more you talk about outcomes, the better off you are. We're going to have to take off pretty quick or miss your flight.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. We've got...
Wow, what time?
Jesus. Quarter past 11 already.
Yeah, it's 11:15. And we've got to drop off a car, grab a bike, and get you to the airport. So... Any last couple questions that I can help with? You know, when we went to the conversations with problem people, I really was serious about that. You just have to moderate your staff and be careful about them emulating you, right? You know, because again, you know, if it's your $500 a month, you're thinking differently about it than, you know, if it's a staff member and somebody annoys them, it's your $100 a month, right? So, or $500 a month. So you do have to be careful to... If you adopt an attitude of selectivity, which is appropriate, you've got to make sure that your staff weeds them up to you so you can make the decisions, not them, right? Because they'll flush out the ones.
Once they see you do that, though, they'll do it to somebody, and then you'll try to correct them. They go, well, I saw you do it.
Yeah. You do. Just be aware of that.
I want to keep you the nice guy. Let me be the bad guy.
That's right.
Well, I mean, that's the going to the principal's office.
That's right.
And being proactive on that is sit them down and say, look, instead of them coming to you.
Oh, absolutely.
We have a problem.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
I need a bigger desk.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, that's one way is you can do the big ass desk and the
little chair, big chair.
Well. You know, I mean, positioning. If you're gonna do a sales and you're using a table, you want a round table, right? Because we're all on the same side. On the other hand, if you want to be a disciplinarian, you want a big ass desk, and they're sitting over here in a chair, preferably with the legs off, and you're over here, right? Because that's, you know, the across the desk is either a negotiating position or it's a position of power. You know, in my case, I never have a desk. You know, closest thing I have to the desk is that big-ass dining room table that's about the same the size of all five of these tables put together that I use at home. But you know, you want to have that that carriage about. And, you know, and there's nothing at all wrong with props, right? I mean, that's where, you know, if you're wearing a Rolex Submariner and the guy in the Mercedes is trying to give you a hard time, you're automatically part of the club, right? You know, and you've got to use this selectively. But, you know, like I have a Jaguar XK8, and we have a school that's up north that's 50% Hispanic, median income $30,000 a year, does great. Another one down south, median income $120,000 a year, lots of entrepreneurs, and everybody, you know, drives a BMW. Well, when I drive the Jaguar up there, I park where it's, you know, inconspicuous, and when I drive the Jaguar down there, I park it right in front.
Are you not the Harley when you go north and you drive the Jaguar?
Well, yeah. But, you know, and some of it is just, you know, some of those stupid little social indicators so that they don't treat you like the pool boy, right? And that's the problem we had with staff down there is the younger instructors, they treat them like the pool boy, right? They're just ordering them around, telling them what to do. And so we really had to do a lot of coaching with the instructors of how to set the tone, tell them what the role is going to be. Every now and then, myself or now somebody like me would have to come and kind of set people straight on what it's going to be. But you've got to, and again, you have a 22-year-old instructor, but he's wearing a Rolex, and he's just groomed well, and he speaks articulately, and he's teaching West Point Way of Leadership. Well, I take him seriously, right? However, if he's got kind of long hair, and he's got a tattoo, and he's got he speaks in poor English, yeah, that's a problem.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Okay, we better go. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Why don't we take five quick and come back?
You're going to let him have a break?
Yeah,
again?
Yeah.
Another 5 minutes.